Today, on The Journey.
These people were grounded. They said, God has given me this one and only life. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to dig a deep foundation. I'm going to be ready because I don't know what all he's going to use me to do.
When storms blow into your life, will your faith stand? Is it built on firm ground with quality materials? Have you looked behind the outward curb appeal to determine its inward strength? In this broadcast, Ron Moore opens the blueprints found in Scripture to help you compare your spiritual house to the heavenly building standards. First, though, I want you to know about Ron's free audio resource, The Solid Foundation. It's the unabridged sermon from which today's program was produced. In this challenging message, you'll discover how to build a life that stands the difficult test of time. The Solid Foundation is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later this half hour. Now, here's Ron with The Solid Foundation on The Journey.
We moved to Pittsburgh many years ago. I came as an associate, so a couple years after that, the senior pastor left to take another job, and I was asked to stay as a senior pastor, and I've shared with you before my great gift of church growth. We were running about 500 people at that time, and the day it was announced I was a senior pastor, I grew the church from 500 to 300, just like that. We kind of chuckle about that now, but it wasn't funny back then. Al Snyder, a friend I met those many years ago, he's a deacon at the church, was one of the people who stayed. Al said, you know, we're going to stay in this thing. We're going to either sink or swim together. And it wasn't sure which would happen. But finally, things settled down. We hit bottom. You know, sometimes hitting bottom is a good thing. And we started to grow again. We were meeting at Peters Township High School at that point, and we challenged the congregation there to raise the money for this land we're sitting on. And the congregation gave, and we raised the money, and we decided to build in phases. And Al Snyder, because he had a background in construction, he had retired. With his experience, he became our on-site supervisor. So every Monday morning, I would stop by McDonald's and I'd pick up two cups of coffee and I'd bring them here to this site. And Al and I would walk around and Al would show me the progress. But I got to tell you, it didn't look to me like much was happening. And every week I would complain, Al, what did they do all week long? Because I don't see anything different than we were here walking around last Monday morning. Well, after a while, Al got a little irritated with my questions. And he said, you know nothing about construction. And he walked me over to an area. And he said, I want you to look down in that hole. And Al walked me to this area where this trench had been dug. And he said, look down there. The reason we are not seeing the building coming up is because right now we are digging down. And the digging of the foundation is the most important thing. If they don't dig deep enough, if they don't hit bedrock, if this building is not built on a deep, solid foundation, then whatever goes out of the ground, it's not going to stand. So stop your complaining. Al's taught me a lot of things over the years, but that was one of the most important lessons. The most critical part of any structure is the foundation, deep below the surface, out of sight. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus addresses that very subject. Today we're going to consider the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as we kick off this series called Grounded. And we're going to see that Jesus describes the importance of a deep, solid foundation. Now remember, this is his conclusion to his inaugural sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what he wants to leave with those who heard that sermon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, remember, he's just preached this sermon. Everyone who has heard these words that I just preached and puts them into practice, It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came and the streams rose and the winds blew and the winds beat against the house. Yet it did not fall. Here's why. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When he finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, the authority of the living God. The story is about two men who decided to build a house. And many of you know that process. You know what it's like to live through building your home. Like you, these men in the story, they decided to design their house. You got to design it before you build it, right? And so they took the time to draw out on paper all the things they were going to build. They designed the family room. And as they were designing the family room, they envisioned their family when they brought their kids together to play games and eat popcorn and watch movies and drink hot chocolate by a blazing fire. No doubt the husband and wife got together to plan the kitchen and they wanted to figure out how much counter space would be needed and how much storage space and the proximity of the sink to the dishwasher and the oven to the stove and where the refrigerator would be. They took the time to plan every special place in the house, the eating area, because they knew one of the most important things families do is that simple but critical thing of having meals together. Both of these men pored over the plans. But one man got a little impatient. He wanted to do things fast. And so he built right on top of the sandy ground. Some people told him it was a mistake, but he wouldn't listen. He was one of those people who always did things his way. Jesus described him as foolish. He finished the house ahead of schedule. His family moved in and they started having neighbors over for a cookout. And really, it was an impressive house. And one day when the man was outside cooking burgers with his buddies, he looked down the road at this other house and he started to chuckle. He said, you know what? See that house down there? We started building at the same time. And look at it, it barely out of the ground. You believe it? All right, we've been in our house for a month. That poor guy's still building. Down the road, the man was still building. While his neighbor was building up, he was digging down. When Luke recounts this story in his gospel, he says, the man dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. This man knew that digging deep was the most important part of the project. He knew that digging deep provided a support structure. Having his house grounded on bedrock was more important than building the family room because he knew if the house was not on solid rock, the family room would not stand. Finally, his house was finished. And from the ground up, they both looked the same. Similar, anyway. Impressive. Stylish. Then one day, families were in a family room and the weather advisory came on. A super storm was on the way. The clouds gathered and the skies darkened and the heavens opened up. And the streams rose and the lakes rose and even the oceans rose. And the winds blew at hurricane speed, 100 miles an hour, and beat against the house. You know what happened. Both houses looked great on the surface. They were impressive. But when the storms came, the house built by the man who dug deep, it stood. The house built by the man who took the shortcut, who refused to take the time to dig down. His house fell with a great crash. Jesus wasn't talking about construction, was he? He was talking about building lives. He was talking about the importance for every person to build a deep, solid foundation, because if you don't have it, your life's going to come crashing down. Now, we know what it's like to build a foundation for a home. We've either experienced it or we've seen it. You bring in the trenchers and you dig the foundation, and you got to make sure the foundation obviously is all around the house. But what's it take to build a foundation for your life? What tools do you use? What resources do you use? Well, Jesus says it this way, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, actually does them. He's like that wise man who built his house on a rock. When the storms come, the house stands. On the other hand, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine, so far, the wise man heard the words and the other man heard the words, right? But this man heard the words and he does not put them into practice. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the question for all of us is, what's below the surface? Have you taken the time, put in the effort to dig a deep foundation laid on the rock of Jesus Christ? Now remember, you might dig one side of the foundation of your home really well, but you may have some other areas you have not dug as well. And so we all need to be evaluating our heart, because there may be areas of our life where we don't have the foundation that we need. We are going to challenge you to dig a solid, deep foundation that is laid on rock. We can't do it for you. We can just provide the things that you need. We are committed to making certain that we give you the tools for you to dig a deep, solid foundation. I'm going to give you four reasons why I believe that is critical. First, you cannot build your spiritual life until you have dug a deep foundation. Remember what it takes to dig a deep foundation? Hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice. How do you hear Jesus' word? Every day, you need to be in the Word of God. There's no shortcuts to this. It's pick and shovel devotional work. Digging a foundation in your spiritual life means you need to be in the Word of God and you need to be reading it and doing what He says. You can't have a spiritual life that's going to stand unless you do that. Secondly, your family depends on it. Your family depends on you building a house with a solid foundation. Who among you would build a house that you put your family in and lay it right on top of the sand without building a foundation? Why in the world then would you want to bring your family along with you in your spiritual life that's built on sand? Number three, you need a spiritual grid. Here's what I mean by that. You need in your heart and your mind a grid that information flows through, and that you are able to catch air as it goes through, so that when you hear these messages coming through, some stuff just doesn't get through the grid. Here's the last thing. Storms are inevitable. Sooner or later, a storm's going to hit. And a lot of times in life, we don't get the weather advisory that says the hurricane's down south and it's coming up the East Coast and in about 4 or 5 days it's going to be here, so you can get out of town and protect yourself. Storms are going to come. And only those who are deeply grounded are going to weather those storms. Let's focus on three things. Let's drill home three things. Let's emphasize three things: personal devotion, sacrificial service, meaningful relationship. You cannot begin to dig a deep foundation unless you're in God's Word on a regular basis, on your own, Him and you. No one can do that for you. That's something you got to decide to do on your own. You put it in your calendar. This is when I am going to spend some time with God. Nothing's going to interrupt that. I'm going to make sure it happens. If you want to build a deep foundation. Secondly, sacrificial service. There's a place for you to serve, and you need to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, every believer has at least one gift and should employ it or set it aside to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We all have different gifts. By the way, let me say this. Bible studies are important. Everyone hear me say that. But don't think for a second sitting in a Bible study week after week is the same thing as sacrificial service. If you're leading the Bible study, that's different. But sitting in a Bible study is sacrificial service just as much as sitting in a gas station is taking a road trip. You know, I was waiting on someone to appreciate that. Because I tweeted it this week and didn't get a lot of response about it either. So I like that. Think about that. It's important that you're serving. And here's the third thing. Meaningful relationship. Now, let me explain what we mean by that. Digging a deep foundation is the most important thing you are ever going to do. It's not where you end up in life, but it's critical. If you're going to build up, that you have that solid foundation. Some of you may just be getting started on the spiritual journey. This is beautiful. Right now, early on, you can nail it down. You can get that foundation. You're always going to have to take the pick and shovel down there sometime and dig some more in some certain areas. But this is where you can get started. Some of you may have been on the journey for 20 years and you haven't dug the foundation yet. This is the time to do it. We are putting forth the challenge for everyone to dig a deep foundation. And we want to do that in the context of meaningful relationships. You can do it one-on-one with one person coaching you and encouraging you and helping you one-on-one. You can do it one-on-few. You can do it couple-to-couple. You can do it in a classroom setting. You can do it any way you want to do it, but you've got to find a place that works for you to dig a deep foundation. Now, in order to dig this foundation, I want to emphasize digging this foundation is just the starting point. It's not where you stop. We're going to use a curriculum called Operation Timothy. We have acquired the license to it. Here are the 20 topics of the 20 sessions. What is the purpose of life? Now, if I ask you this, why did God put you on planet Earth? What would be your answer? Yeah, that's a part of the digging, isn't it? Is the Bible credible? Where is God? Where is Jesus? Why did Jesus come? Can I be accepted and forgiven? New life in Christ, our new identity, battling the world, the flesh, and the devil, dealing with temptation, discovering the Holy Spirit. We need to know what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Communication with God. Prayer, telling others my story, digging deep into the Bible. How can I study the Bible on my own? You need to know when your child comes to you and asks that question about, hey, this marriage thing, I'm getting all kind of confusing things at school. Is it between a man and a woman? Hey, come on, man, let me show you. Let's go back in Genesis chapter 2, right where marriage is instituted. Let's see what God says here together. You got to know how to study the Bible. And you know, that's part of the pick and shovel work of digging a deep foundation. Knowing God's will, becoming a person of character, relationships, kingdom living. What's this thing about following Christ? Sharing Christ with others, multiplying your life. So think of those 20 things as digging a 20-foot bedrock foundation to build your life on, to follow hard after Christ. Christian life is not a theological discussion. It is a practical, step-by-step living. And we want you to be living grounded. How are we going to change our world? How are we going to change our community? How are we going to change our families? It happens one life at a time. And it all starts with your life and mine. We often think of great men in church history. Luther and Calvin and all the things they led. Where we really miss it is, God didn't just work in great movements. All great movements are about one person at a time. If you look at church history and you look at the 1100s, you'll see the medieval times and all the stuff that was going on in the Church of Rome. Long before Luther, a man named John Huss led a great revival in Prague. The revival was so successful that the people became persecuted, and it was pushed underground. Huss lost his life, burned at the stake. For the next 300 years, the underground church in Central Europe, foundational truth was passed from father to son, from mother to daughter, from grandparent to grandchild. Made its way all the way around Europe, the underground church. Then the group went to Germany, and they found refuge in an estate of a guy named Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Ever heard of him? By this time, they were called the Moravians. And this group led a tremendous movement through all of Europe, and their influence even came to America. John Wesley was a preacher, came from a religious family, but wasn't a believer. And he was on a ship coming to the United States, and he met with a Moravian who told him you could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Wesley said his heart was strangely warmed when he trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. The Reformation started not just because of Luther, because of the Moravians and all these underground churches and prayer that had been going on. So that when Luther showed up, everyone was ready. Today, the United States sends missionaries around the world. But in the 1800s, no missionaries were going out at all. Until a group of college students, serious about their faith, at Williams College, they would meet and pray because they had this conviction that God wanted someone, maybe them, to take the gospel around the world. And they had a great heart for Asia. They would go out and meet and pray in the hay fields around the college. And one day, a great storm came. And a group of guys ran to take refuge under this haystack. And it was there that they felt God telling them specifically, you are to go to Asia. It's called the Haystack Revival. And a guy named Adoniram Judson was the first person from America to go overseas, the first missionary. And look what's happened today. It's because these people were grounded. They weren't waiting on big movements. They said, God has given me this one and only life. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to dig a deep foundation. I'm going to be ready because I don't know what all he's going to use me to do. But if they hadn't dug deep, God would not have been able to use them in tremendous ways. And he wants to use us one person at a time.
Please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How sturdy are the underpinnings of your spiritual dwelling? When the winds of adversity blow and floods of disappointment rise, will your house stand? It will if it's built upon the bedrock truths outlined in Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation. In this challenging message, Ron shares the four reasons a firm footing is necessary for a strong spiritual residence. He also takes a look at the three biblical virtues that are required to meet the heavenly building codes. Learn and follow them so that you can withstand the inevitable storms of life. Your free copy of The Solid Foundation is available on CD or as an MP3 download with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Throughout Scripture, we see this undeniable truth that God proves himself to those he calls. I believe Jesus wants to prove himself to you.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's audio resource, The Solid Foundation, is waiting for you on CD or as an MP3 download at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. And watch for the discipleship materials from this series coming this fall. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.